News on this Feast of the Epiphany 2019, God sends Magi. Magi to show us how journeys of transformation work. In the Gospel according to Matthew, in addition to gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the Magi who follow a star to Bethlehem bring the gift of complication. In the ancient Greek and Jewish worlds, a magus, singular of magi, might have been labeled an astronomer or an astrologer, a sorcerer or a devoted observer of natural phenomena. Very foolish or very wise. Yet one way or another, magi always fall outside the conventions, the norms. They are complicators. Our gospel writer, known as Matthew, has already signaled a fondness for complicators in the first chapter of the gospel, which, as you might recall, begins with a genealogy, one that is strategically seeded with complicators. In amongst all those fathers who beget so-and-so, 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 appear four mothers: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. All foreigners, all non-Jews, all by circumstance adept at dealing with survival outside the norms. So now we come to chapter 2. Enter Magi from the East, from Persia, modern-day Iran. As my Harvard and MIT chaplain colleague Dariush Mehta likes to remind me, they were Zoroastrians. Quick sidebar on Zoroastrians. Zoroastrianism is an ancient monotheistic religion with Persian roots that surfaces in written records about the in the 600s before the Common Era. That is, surfaces about the time when Israel is going into exile in Babylonia, when Israel is in the East. The deity of Zoroastrianism is Ahura Mazda. Ahura means mighty or lord. Mazda means wisdom. And this deity is often depicted with a human face and a feathered winged body. The wings are made up of feathers in sets of three, signifying good thoughts, good words, good actions. Now, since learning about Zoroastrianism from Dariush, especially with this image of the deity, I think about Zoroastrians at Christmas, even before Epiphany, whenever we sing the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. For there in the third verse, Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, which is a riff on Malachi Chapter 4, verse 2, Malachi, one of the latest of the works in Hebrew Scripture. The Magi of the second chapter are most clearly, according to Matthew's framing, complicators for King Herod. For they arrived looking for a child born king of the Jews. And Herod knows immediately that this is no common power grab. This new king has power that transcends the boundaries of Israel or a single empire. And so if the anxiety of a minor king like Herod can set an entire city vibrating with fear, imagine the scope of the effect of the temperament of this king, whose kingdom is charted in the stars of cosmic dimensions. Tradition has a way of domesticating complicators. So, over the centuries, Magi in English has become translated as wise men, as if their wisdom and their gender were undisputed. With the passage of time, their number is nailed down to 3, and they get christened Balthazar, Caspar, and Melchior. And they get crowned kings. And in Western iconography and art, only one is allowed to be represented with dark skin, Balthazar. All kneel and present gifts fit for a king on coronation day. Jesus, King of the Holy Roman Empire, before all knees bow. When is Epiphany not Epiphany? Maybe when it becomes so scripted, it loses capacity to complicate. So let's scrape away tradition's trappings and go back and look at the story, and not just where Matthew is shining the light on the conflict between kings. They are magi from the east. Matthew seems uninterested in the fact that this was an extraordinarily long journey. So, wise or fools, undertaking a journey that's over 1,000 miles. Did they travel on foot? Did they travel by camel? By car today, if you were to drive from Tehran, capital of Iran, to Bethlehem, it's 1,222 miles. And it would require crossing some problematic borders, Iran, Iraq, maybe Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, where there are certainly some active conflict zones. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of year for a journey, and such a journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. This is how the British Bishop of Winchester, Lancelot Andrews, I always love that name. How come we don't see more Lancelots? Lancelot Andrews, bishop in 1622. And this was how he imagined the journey of the Magi in his sermon on Christmas Day, the very dead of winter. As if the distance could have been spanned in only one season. Fast forward centuries, the poet T.S. Eliot expands on these very lines, uses them to open his 1927, The Journey of the Magi, presented in the voice of one Magi. The poem is an anti-Hallmark litany of complaints. Quick sidebar, Eliot composed poems with titles like Wasteland, Hollow Men, and for a paycheck, he agreed to opt into a series of holiday reflections. Did the publisher know what he was going to get? What he got, you can look up the poem, but the camels are ornery, the servants are always drunk and generally unreliable, and the accommodations along the way are terrible and overpriced. Eventually, the Magi decide not even to stop and muscle through and sleep on their camels. And so, we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. Eliot's word, satisfactory. As it met expectations, or imagine you undertake a journey of not merely weeks, but months, and you have all the material wealth necessary for such a trip. And not only do you have adequate provisions, you have a fleet of conveyances for which you even have drivers. You have training, years of training and expertise. You can read the stars. But above and beyond all that, you have a mission, you have passion. And finally, you arrive standing in the doorway of your dream, and it is satisfactory. Exploring Epiphany this year, at the end of more than a year where there's been a question simmering in the back of my mind, many of this congregation, many of those in several other congregations around Harvard Square. A question that keeps recurring more and more pointedly. For a dozen houses of faith have been pouring energy and money into the work of a sanctuary coalition, which, as it turns out, is all to help one family. Really? One? Yes, really. Because as it turns out, the journey has been more complicated than any of us could have imagined when we first set out. And it was until this year that the closing section of Eliot's poem, Journey of the Magi, took on flesh. Being a dutiful student of literary classics, I had read this and had been properly awed by what I now discover was the veneer of its existential truth. For I had no idea of any weight that the existential cost, and I also wonder if T.S. Eliot did. But that's the beauty of word that endures. This is how the poem goes on, where the magus reflects. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but but had thought that they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease there in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. Perhaps the truest epiphanies are unsuitable for tableaus and stained glass windows. Perhaps they must, by definition, resist scripting. Included in your worship program, towards the back, don't go hunting for it now, it's there, you'll find a recently composed statement called The Journey of the Cambridge Interfaith Sanctuary Coalition. It was written last month, maybe the end of November, by one of the leaders of our steering group, Rachie Lewis, a member of Cambridge Minion, and Nestor Pimienta and Alfredo Garcia. And the statement attempts the impossible, a description of 2 years of epiphanies and still unfolding. Epiphanies that continue to complicate lives, ours and our neighbors, ours and our communities, ours and our nations. Maybe when we started congregations of the coalition, maybe we thought we were the magi, the ones with all the wisdom. Our gifts would make the difference, and by them we would be the ones to shatter the grip of a cruel system. We thought we were the ambassadors of welcome bearing gifts. But epiphany, we turned out to be the strangers learning about how to welcome from a mother and her daughters. A mother and her daughters, magi to our awakenings, these three wise women, the youngest of whom is now barely three. The coalition statement closes with these words. Many ask, what is the point of using all these resources and time on this one person? The better question is, who is the point? She is the point. We are the point. This is not about changing the world, but about changing ourselves. This is about wrestling with ourselves and what we thought we knew. This is about creating a healing space where a family can come and find peace, as we are invited into their home and welcomed into their lives. This is about creating a sacred refugee community of care. So it's occurred to me, maybe we should change our coalition name. Maybe instead of the Cambridge Interfaith Sanctuary Coalition, we've become the Cambridge Interfaith Epiphany Coalition. For, as I said at the beginning, for the good news of this Feast of the Epiphany 2019, God has sent magi to show us how journeys of transformation work. Amen.